Scripture for today is Acts 15:8, 1 Peter 2:9. Just read them together. And this is the NIV. God, Acts 15:8, God who knows the heart showed that he accepted them, the Gentiles, by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. So this is when Paul and Barnabas were in the Jerusalem church, reporting about all the good things that God was doing in the Gentiles, nations. And the Pharisees, who were now Christians, were saying, wow, they have to, these Gentiles, if they were going to be accepted into the church, they must also uphold all the traditions of the Jews. And so they had a long discussion, some version they had a long disagreement. It was probably more like disagreement. It was probably more like a long, long-type fight. Because the Pharisees were very concerned about traditions and about purity of Jewishness. And Jesus already warned the church about the Pharisees, but by now they forgot Christ's warning. And also, you know, the church was still just Jewish, and so they didn't know how to handle the Gentiles. And so this is Peter talking and said, well, remember when the Lord sent me to the centurion and he gave his household the Holy Spirit, just as he gave the Holy Spirit to us, to purify their hearts. That is what I wanted to bring out, to purify their hearts. Peter goes on to write 1 Peter 2:9, but you are, this is Peter writing to you and me, the Gentiles, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And so I put these two verses together, and I came up with the pure heart for the praise of his name. So it's a combination of Paul's words back in the Acts, and also when he was an old man writing to the Gentile churches in 1 Peter. So we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, created for the praise of God, created to have a pure heart. And he himself purified our heart. Why a pure heart? Without a pure heart, if praises do not come from a pure heart, they are an insult to God. They are an insult to God. We're talking about a beautiful person, right? It says, let's say she belongs to Marco. She was Marco's girlfriend. I knew her, so I could say, you're so beautiful, and she wouldn't be offended, right? But if I didn't know her at all, I said, you're so beautiful, she slapped me. You have no right to say that. Really, she hasn't given me the right to say that. Same thing with God. We don't have pure heart, and we say, well, I sang the song. I raised my hands. No, it's offensive to God. Because my heart is not pure. According to Peter, though, Acts 15:8, it is God who purifies my heart when he gives me his Holy Spirit. So it almost seemed like he hasn't purified me and the fault is him. It seems like that. No, it is He's already giving me the Spirit of God, but I haven't accepted it and lived it out. That's what it is. He already gave you and me the Holy Spirit, but perhaps we haven't walked out the purity part of it. So I brought that up just so you see that, yes, purity must be there. For you and me, though, it's not that hard. Christ says, right, His love is greater than your sins. His love is greater than my sin. So if you know you have some sin issue, Lord Jesus, I'm struggling with this. Help me, forgive me. And then your praise will be acceptable to Him. What is not acceptable is to pretend that you have no sin when you know you do. And even when I don't know that I do, I say, Lord, is there anything that is not pleasing to you? My buddy here says, Pastor Daniel, you're so animated. You know, maybe being animated is not pleasing to God. I don't know. So I go to Him. After every sermon, I say, Lord, did I represent you well? I do that. And so you do the same. Father, is there anything that is not pleasing to you? Show it to me. And then your praise will be acceptable to Him. A pure heart. How pure is it? The Lord says, pure like the heart of a little child. We'll read this from Matthew 21 and follow it and see if you capture it before me telling you. Matthew 21, NIV again. As they approached Jerusalem, so this is Jesus Christ coming out of Jericho into Bethany, and this is Palm Sunday. They're going into Jerusalem, and this is after the donkey was delivered to Him, and He rode it into the temple, and we pick up the scene from that march into the temple. Matthew 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her coat by her. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and He will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of Him and those that followed shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answer, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, Jesus said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to Him at the temple, and He healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple court, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Did you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," Jesus replied. "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praises?" Let me read that again. Maybe you'll catch it. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the little children shouting in the temple court, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied, "have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praises?" What happened to mom and dad? Right? What happened to mom and dad? They were marching together. They were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David!" And now they're in the temple court. Only the children were saying that. "That is what I wanted you to see. Now that you've seen it, we'll have to figure out why," right? Okay. See, little children, they didn't know any better. They didn't know there were rules. They didn't know that the chief priests have rules and regulations. And they didn't know the chief priests did not like Jesus. They saw Jesus, they knew right away, this is the Son of God. They were praising him. Mom and dad, they were afraid. Under the watchful eyes of the priests, they don't say a thing. Just believe in your heart. Just believe in your heart. Don't say a thing. If you do, you'll be cast out of the synagogue. You'll be cast out of the Israelite community. So they stopped singing. So 1,000 years before, Jesus was quoting David, 1,000 years before Jesus walked on the earth. And in Psalm 8:2, this is the NIV. "Through the praise of children and infant, you have established stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger." So the NIV is kind of like trying to make you understand what the scripture says without keeping the original wording. It's easy to read, but it lost some meaning, some original meaning. The New King James says this. Psalm 8:2, New King James. "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger." So the Lord, through the eyes of David, looking 1,000 years ahead, when his own son, Jesus Christ, would come into Jerusalem, and people would be shouting, but in the temple, they were afraid. And so God said, "But I will make the little children praise you." A pure heart has no fear. A pure heart has all the sincerity, all the love, and no fear. Mom and dad were thinking, we believe he is the Messiah, but we don't want to be in trouble. So they kept silent. And then God ordained the praises out of the little children. The Bible does say nursing infant. It does say that. So I was thinking, Hannah? Well, Hannah just gaga gugu. Maybe not Hannah. Maybe Eliot. Yeah, Eliot's still nursing, right? But what would he say? I don't think he knows anymore. But he probably say something like, amen, right? He can say like, Jesus. The word in the Hebrew, the shortest praise would just be hallelujah. Hallelujah. A little baby can say that. Hallelujah. That is so concise, so short, but it's so pure. And in the original Greek, in Psalm 8:2, the picture there is this. Israel came into the land, and that offended all the surrounding nation. And God said, but your deliverance will come from the praise of nursing babies, because that is where I will establish stronghold. In some translation, give you strength. So in David's time, that word, strength, through the 1,000 years to the time of Jesus, the scholars have translated that word, praise. Since you marry the two, and praise means strength. You marry those two concepts. Praise becomes strength. You capture that? So Israelites came into the land. They offended everybody. But David says the real enemy is the avenger, the devil himself. And God says, no fear. I will establish stronghold for you. And by the time of Christ, you will be able to say praises through the out of little babes. Not with your mighty man. You didn't have any chariots. Israel didn't have any. No fear, because it's through the praise of little babes. Simple phrase, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's really hallel is to praise, to say good things. And Jah is the short form of God's name. Let me just praise God. And so over time, the word praise God is praise itself. Right? So normally praise would be, you are so great. You are so loving. You are so wonderful. And there are times you will do that. But in an emergency, yeah. Praise God, that's all. That in itself is praise. If you say it out of a pure heart, God accepts it, like those little children. Praise is the gift we take to God. So before the Israelites came into the land, the Canaanites, the Hittites, they had gods too. They offered their first son, their first daughter, primarily the first son and the most beautiful daughter. Burn him up, burn her up to the gods. You would think, right? Because that is the most precious that a mom and a dad can have. So I marry someone because I want a son that I can offer to my God. Can you see that picture? That is abhorrent to our God. But that is the most precious thing that we human can produce, right? A son, a daughter that is as precious as myself, but I give it to the God. Yahweh says, that is abhorrent. I hated it. That is why I'm casting them out and I'm placing you in that land. You see the picture now? So what do you and me give to God? What do the Israelites give to God? If giving your son and your daughter to him is wrong. Praise. Praise from a pure heart. Praise from a pure heart. Praise is the medium that you and God meet. God is so mighty. But there's no black and white between God and us. Is it you're on God's side or you're on his enemy and you want to be on God's side? And you're on God's side, then you praise him. Like you guys been married too long, so sometimes you see your wife or your husband's not so good side, right? Think back when you just met, right? You only see the good thing. She did no wrong. He did no wrong. Right? That is a human being. But God is the same thing. When you see God for who he is, your auto reflex is you are so good. Right? Right? When you were just dating, she's so beautiful. I mean, yeah, Jesse was standing here preaching. She said, we talk all night long, you know. And so we'll probably just say, didn't we just say that last night? I don't know. I never talk all night long. I don't know what people talk about. But you can talk about the same thing, and it's still cool because you're so in love. And if you're in love with God, it's like that. It's not a burden to go to him. You are seeing his good side. And his goodness flows to you. And so, praise is what we take to God. And so God is saying, he is creating you and me for his praise. And if you and I haven't seen the good side of God, maybe we are still growing. Hopefully, I pray, you are growing. Maybe, though, you are reserved for his wrath. It's part of the preaching. I'm so sorry. It's so harsh, but I need to let you know that that is the wrath side of God. And he chooses to give you his praise side. And so if you are still growing, get to the point where you see his goodness, that you can praise him. We were praising him for Roberta. And I do indeed praise God. But life is hard, life is long. What if God allowed your wife to be taken away? What if you suddenly lose your job? What if suddenly your health just isn't what it used to be? Can you still praise God? When those things happen and you can't praise God, it really shows that your heart is on the earth and it's not with God. But you can grow. You can grow toward God, right? Instead of becoming bitter, you think, Daddy, I am struggling with this. Help me, because I want my heart to be with you. In this life, there will always be people who are completely happy with life, and they have no praise for God. And there are people who are so bitter with God that they would curse him. I want to say, are you the praising kind? This life is not guaranteed to have all sunshine It is possible to have just all rains, right? Here in America, we help people, we help technology, we are rich. But if you just step beyond our borders, and then you'll see real poverty, real hardship, and you say, "What is God? What is God?" You know, God is not the author of those evil things. But God is the strength that will take you through those evil things if you know him. And God is the strength that will allow you to go help those people. You will abandon your good life and say, "Yes, I'll go help those," because his heart is with them. And you can see the goodness of God in that situation. So, praise is the gift we take to God. Praise is the gift we take to God. It is really scary when you really think about our faith. One day, the Lord Jesus will come. He will establish his righteous reign. He will prosper you and me. Whatever we do will be fruitful. We won't have all the disease that we now have. We'll all be happy. Guess what? At the end of that 1,000 years, the Bible said multitude. So I don't know, is that half? Is that three quarter? But the Bible says a multitude of people turn against him. It is because praise is not in the heart. Praise is not in the heart. So even in the presence of Christ, in his righteous reign, when given opportunity, people will still rise up against him. So cultivate an attitude of praise within you. I can say to you that when you are in his presence, it's not that you are able to ignore pain and suffering, even your own pain and suffering, but it is that you can trust him. You are not ignoring your problem, but you are able to trust your problem with God, and you can praise him. We said earlier, everybody praised the Lord when they got a raise. But when they get passed up, very few can praise him. Whether you get a raise or you don't get a raise, it is a test for you to see where your heart is. If I get a raise and I praise him, I need to step back. What if I didn't get the raise? Would I still praise him? Is God desperate for praise? Is God so desperate for praise that throughout Scripture, we are encouraged, we are commanded to praise him? Why? God wants to praise you. God wants your praise so that he can praise you. You are that special to him. Out of this world, with all the gold and silver, he wants your praise. Everything that he created, everything is just thing. But he wanted to praise you. He wanted to praise you. So he is teaching you to praise him so that he can turn around and praise you. This is the word of Jesus Christ himself. John 12:42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. This is a really wonderful picture. I know I'm going a little over time, but we men can't eat, so wives, suffer with your men. That is a trick. No, we're praising him through our fasting, right? And I forgot to say, but it's okay to eat Yabby's meal on Saturday. Many of you are doing the daylight fasting. A few of you are doing the one meal only fasting. And if you do the one meal only, then you can say, okay, for God's sake, for Yabby's sake, I will eat this meal, but that would be the one meal for the day. And I declare it's acceptable. Some of you, I realize, are doing the daylight fasting, and that is okay too. Any fasting that you do is acceptable to me. Better than before, right? We never did before, so now we're doing it as a church. So Saturday, come to help Yabby and come to enjoy whatever we'll help him cook or he'll present to us. But back to our sermon here. So this is an example of the Pharisees. They didn't know who this Jesus was. They just wrote him up as a crazy preacher from Galilee. But Nicodemus came and asked him. That is the picture. If you don't know, ask. If you don't know, ask. They didn't ask. They didn't ask. So here is the curse because they didn't ask. Jesus is saying, because the Pharisees, these rulers did not confess, lest they should be put out of synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." So they were afraid to confess him. They were afraid to praise him. Jesus is saying, "I am God." Right here. They never asked. They just wrote him off. Crazy guy from Nazareth. They never asked him. Nicodemus did. He was saved. Same thing for you and for me. You don't understand? Father, I don't understand. Help me. Right. So you and I, other people, created for his praise. And it is because he wants to praise you. It is because he wants to praise you. We said that the Canaanites were offering their babies to the gods because that's the best thing. God also wants, when he praises you, wants to give you something. Anybody has done revelation? What is God going to give you and me? You write his name on our forehead. Turn it around. My forehead will be him. It's not going to be this wrinkly thing anymore. It's not going to be this thick skull. It is going to be God right here. It's going to be God right here. It completed the salvation story. Adam lost the image of God. And if you are a praiser, he'll put that image right back on you, on your forehead. And that completes salvation story. Please rise, let me pray, and then we'll come, participate in the communion, and we will go home. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that you came to save us. Thank you that you came to teach us how to praise you. You are good. You are great. You are wonderful. You are lovely. Thank you for taking our sin. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you that you are making us your brothers and your sisters, and we are co-heirs with you, and we will inherit the kingdom of the Father together with you. Not that we are good, but because you are good, and in you we are good. Blessed be your name. Praise the Lord. Amen.